Good morning, Francesca. Thanks so much for taking some time out and getting involved in Business Owner Spotlight this week. Would you like to introduce yourself and let us know what you do?
Sure. Thank you very much, Scott, for having me. My name is Francesca Morelli, and I am director and co-founder of Baba Influence, which is Northern Ireland's first dedicated influencer marketing agency. So we spend our time connecting businesses to social media influencers for marketing and promotional purposes.
Fantastic. And how long have you been involved in that business?
So we turned 3 years old this May. So that's quite exciting. And we're brainstorming some fun ideas at the minute of ways we can celebrate that milestone. As you know, the business landscape at the minute and over the last few years has been quite difficult. So we really think that the small things should be celebrated.
Totally agree with that. And I'm just with your timeline there, I'm wondering what was it? What was the catalyst? What made you get into business in the first place then?
Sure. So I am from a family business background originally. My family are Morelli's Ice Cream. So a lot of people actually ask me, is it because of your entrepreneurial background that you decided to start up your own business? And actually the answer is always no. It was actually something that kind of deterred me. I grew up watching my parents work very, very long hours. I was very aware of the challenges and the risks that came with starting up your own business. And so I always imagined myself doing more of a corporate career. However, in my degree, which was international business with French, I was obligated to spend a year working in France in industry. So I actually found myself in a startup studio, which is a collection of startups, and they pull resources to maximize success. So I was part of a very small team, and I suppose to sound very millennial, I really saw the impact of my work, and that was something that I really loved. So I came home and I was approached by a local startup founder in Belfast who asked me, would I join his team? And he had already built up a team of four. And so I came on board in my final year of university as a business developer. So I was working on that and I really got involved in the startup scene in Belfast, which is a great community to be involved in. But through this startup, I actually met who is now my co-founder, Chloe. She was doing marketing for that business at the time. And alongside her fine art degree, she was doing content creation or influencing for local businesses. So we were around the same age, had similar interests, and she started inviting me to gigs and jobs with her and events, you know, so on. So I started going along, and actually she took me for lunch one day to a business that had offered her free product in exchange for some content. And it was that that afternoon I sort of realized how informal this exchange was and how unprofessional really the whole landscape was in terms of content creation and influencer marketing work. And while through going to all these events, I had seen the size of the community of influencers and content creators, it really struck me how much untapped potential there was in terms of formalizing this relationship and making it more of a thing, yeah. For want of a better term. So I said to Chloe, I said, you know, really, is there nothing more formal in place that could facilitate these relationships? And she said, you know, not really. There's loads of us bloggers and content creators here in Belfast, but actually there's not really someone who is making these more formal, you know, in a more dedicated way. There were PR agencies doing it at the time. There were some marketing agencies kind of putting their toe in the water and doing influencer marketing as a bit of an add-on maybe to a campaign, but it was in a very, very casual way. So we saw that as our opportunity to really step in with my business background, with her influencer background. We found that this was something we could do really well together. So that's really how we started. That's a bit of a lengthy answer, but
it's a cool journey, and it shows just, you know, that light bulb moment. And the key thing is then you've taken the action on it, of course. So who would be your ideal customer then that you would like to hear this or to talk to?
Yeah, so we work with customers along a range of industries. So our five main genres would be home and interiors, family and parenting, fashion, beauty, and travel and hospitality as well. So really, if you are a business that works with your everyday consumer in any of those categories, then, you know, we can work with you. That's the kind of nice thing about influencers. They do span a range of genres now. So our main kind of customer would be a business that is B2C. in any of those categories, and we can generally do something with you then.
So you've already, you know, identified your niche. And am I picking it up right? It's kind of like a marketplace for influencers. Is that kind of what you're creating? You'll have a bank of influencers, and then if I'm a business, I want to go to you and you match me up with the right one.
Pretty much. I mean, we work slightly differently from other agencies in that the typical model would have been that agencies would have a portfolio of talent, and they might span, you know, 10 to maybe 30 influencers, kind of like how a modeling agency would work. Sure. However, we found that when we started up, while we originally thought that was the way we were going to go, we quickly realized that actually that limits us a little bit, it limits the client a little bit, and it limits the talent a little bit as well. So how we work now is we have our network of influencers and we grow that all the time. And that expands across the north of Ireland, the south of Ireland, and the UK. Okay. So it means that whether you are a restaurant in Belfast or whether you are a fashion boutique in London, if you come to us, we can draw on our network and find the best person for you. But not only do we match you up with the right person, but we also put your creative strategy in place. We manage the whole campaign the way through. We manage all the communications between yourselves and the influencers. And we also provide you with all the campaign insights at the end as well. So we really are an end-to-end agency. We don't just kind of set you up with someone and say, work away. You know, we make sure that we hold your hand the entire way through to make sure that your strategy is well planned and thought out and going to maximize the results for your business as well.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just adding that bit of expertise that a lot of business owners maybe wouldn't have. So that's fantastic. So 3 years in, congratulations. But as you say, a very, very different, difficult maybe 3 years in the business landscape. What's been the biggest learning you've had since you started your business?
It's a good question. I think maybe the biggest challenge that I had, and therefore the biggest learning that has come from that, surrounds pricing. And someone said to me that, you know, you can always decrease your prices and put on deals, but once you've sort of set your benchmark in terms of a price, it can be very hard to raise that. So when Chloe and I started the business, we were, I think, 22 and 23, maybe slightly younger. And I think, especially for women, it can be quite easy to undervalue ourselves and undervalue our expertise and what we're bringing to the table. So especially because influencer marketing, it's not only a new industry generally, but it's especially new in Northern Ireland, and it really was a few years ago. So I think influencers didn't really know how to price themselves. Customers didn't really know what they should expect to pay. And we found it quite hard to find our feet in that area and just think, okay, well, what is the value here? We knew that it was very valuable to businesses and valuable to influencers as well. But getting the pricing right on that, I would say, was one of the biggest challenges we encountered. Now, it's never that we were kind of too expensive. It was always that we were kind of underpricing ourselves a little bit. So finding the balance there, I think, was probably the hardest thing. So I think before anyone goes to start up a business, to spend substantial time doing research and thinking about their pricing model is really key before you jump in.
Yeah, and it's having the courage, as you say, you know, to push the price a little bit and really charge on the value instead of the time you're swapping. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Especially, I think that as you grow as a business and as you put processes in place and have templates for things, you're not necessarily spending the same amount of time on something as you would have at the start. But that's not to say that the value isn't there. You know, yeah. It just means that you have spent longer perfecting these strategies. And so the value does not change. If anything, it increases because your experience level has gone up. So, it's something really to keep in mind. And as I say, try and get right before you jump into working with customers.
100%. And so what about yourself then? What have you learned about yourself? I mean, you said you had this perception of what it would be like to be an entrepreneur from your family background, and you've gone with it anyway. So what's been the biggest learning you've had about yourself?
The biggest learning I've had about myself? I've actually never been asked that before, and it's a really good question. I think less so learning, more like an observation of growth. I mean, when I first started the business, there were so many things that would have really shaken me and really caused a lot of anxiety for me. Whereas I think as the business has gone on and as I've grown as a business owner and as a person, I've really learned that I need to believe in myself more and have more confidence to stand my ground and actually have the confidence that, no, what I'm saying is right here. And, you know, I shouldn't back down from this. And, you know, just because, you know, a much older man is telling me that this is the case, it doesn't mean that's actually true, not to cause any offense, but, you know, it kind of goes for anyone. You know, just because I was young and starting out in business, it doesn't mean that I was always going to be on the back foot. And I suppose I've really grown in self-confidence over the last few years and realized that, you know, I'm smarter than what I think and, you know, than what I believe, and to have kind of watched myself grow in confidence and kind of grow less in anxiety has been really good. So I feel like I'm much tougher now than I was before, just through different experiences. But I feel like that's only really something you can learn as you do, and kind of go through these different experiences. So it didn't really answer the question. It's something I'm going to be thinking about now after we get off.
But... No, I think it is. And I think, you know, that increased belief and confidence is, you know, it's what has the biggest impact on your results. You know, if you believe more in yourself and what you're doing, you're going to make better decisions and have better behavior. So I think it's a great answer to the question. I'm keen to know, though, how did you realize, you know, like everybody or a lot of people I talk to are so focused on trying to climb the mountain they're trying to climb, they forget to look back at how far they've come. So was it a light bulb moment, or is it something you spend some time reflecting, or how did you come to the realization?
It's a really gradual thing, and it's something that you kind of realize more and more each time a new scenario appears or an old scenario appears that really have shaken you a couple of years ago that you can manage now with a lot more confidence. And it does just come with experience. So, for example, if there you know, is an issue or a challenge that crops up now, sometimes I would deal with it and it's all cool, and then I sort of stop and think, that would have absolutely floored me a couple of years ago, and that would have caused a load of anxiety for me, and I would have been really upset. And it does kind of present a moment of pride where you're like, do you know what, actually I've come really far here. But, you know, as I say, it's a really gradual process, and each time something like that crops up and you do have that moment of reflection, you kind of realize more and more. But it's less so kind of coming 3 years on and thinking, you know, oh, this is great, like I've come so far in 3 years. It's more each time something appears, you realize.
Build up to it. And it's the important thing is, though, to actually, you know, to have that little moment of reflection and take the confidence from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, it's really helpful to do that exercise, because each time you have that moment of realization, you do learn to kind of cope better then as you go forward, and, you know, you can deal with situations in a better way.
And what about, have you picked up any favorite quotes or sayings that you lean on to get you through?
Yeah, so there's a couple I really like, and I suppose one is more kind of business centric, and the other more applies to, I suppose, life in general, but it's something that can be very much used across business and personal life. So the first one that is more kind of focused on business is that turnover is vanity, profit is sanity. And I think growing up in catering and hospitality, that was something that was really ingrained into me. Now, when I went to work in a startup studio in Paris, it was a completely different model for me, because they were building for acquisition. So I had always learned growing up that, you know, we make a scone for 10p, we sell it for 50p, and we make 40p. Do you know, obviously it's gone more than 50p now, but that was kind of what I learned. And the whole profits versus turnover thing was really important then. And I suppose it goes the same way for so many businesses across the board. So that's something I really try and focus on in our business, not to let that turnover figure get carried away with it. You know, I think a lot of businesses fall into that trap. The other one then is, and my mum has always said it to me, is surround yourself with radiators and not drains. I like to think of myself as a really positive person, and I think positivity is absolutely key when it comes to business and to life as well. And so you need to surround yourself with other people that have a positive outlook, who are optimistic. If you surround yourself with positive energy drainers, then they're just going to bring you down and make you very negative, make you very pessimistic. And for me, that is an absolute recipe for disaster in life and in business.
Yeah, totally agree. I haven't heard that that second one before. I think I'll pinch that. Thank you. What does the next 3 years look like? And what do you think the main challenges are moving forward?
Good question. This is kind of bad for me to say as a business owner, but actually I would kind of work quite day to day. You know, I kind of like taking things as they come and, you know, jumping on new opportunities as they arise. Obviously we can picture where we'd like to be.
Sure.
In terms of what that actually looks like, it's quite difficult to foresee. So my business partner, and that's where things work really well, is that in my weaknesses, she has the strengths and vice versa. So she'd be really good at kind of thinking about the future in that way. But I suppose we would just like to improve on what we're doing, keep doing what we're doing, and continue to work on our own skills and our own knowledge. We have always aspired to be at the forefront of the industry in Northern Ireland. So, for example, we did Northern Ireland's first influencer awards. We did Northern Ireland's first TikTok house. And we were really the first agency to jump into TikTok in a massive way and teach TikTok skills to business owners. So, I mean, we'd really like to remain at the forefront of the influencer space and bring new practices from London and elsewhere in the world to here and really show people here what influencer marketing looks like as an industry and where it's going. Some of the bigger challenges, I mean, this is probably a fairly basic answer, but new technologies are obviously springing up all the time. You know, we're going to have to navigate ChatGPT and everything that surrounds AI. We're going to have to navigate the metaverse and what that means for influencers in the metaverse, and how that could change our industry. So it's really going to be about us keeping our finger on the pulse in terms of what that means for us and what that means for our clients.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, again, it's these things are coming, so you may as well be in front of them and use them to your advantage instead of putting your head in the sand.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just all about not being left behind. You know, yes. If you are going to continue to be an agency that's proactive in the space and doing really good things, you absolutely have to be on top of these new technologies and have a good understanding of them before it's too late.
Yeah, 100%. And I love the idea that you launched the awards. I mean, there was no awards, now there are. How has that gone for you?
Yeah, I mean, last year, as I say, they were our first time doing awards and we were blown away with how well they were received. I mean, they were just great and we were really pleased with the outcome of those. And we are now currently in the planning for the VAVA Awards 2023. Which are going to be taking place on the 2nd of September. So we're in full-scale planning mode now, and we just hope that they will continue to evolve and grow and to celebrate the amazing talent that we have here on the island of Ireland.
Brilliant. Just to finish up then, if you could go back in time 3 years ago, to when you started your business, is there anything you would do differently?
Oh goodness, probably lots of things. I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing. I mean, I don't regret the journey. I mean, it's been amazing to have done it and have learned so much. I mean, yeah. The learning curve has been so steep, but it's been brilliant. And it's really obviously formed me as a person and me as a business person. Now, in terms of what I would change, I mean, I talked about a little bit earlier, I would spend more time before we launched thinking about pricing and what that pricing model would look like. It's a good question because I work with student entrepreneurs at Queen's, and one piece of advice I always give to new entrepreneurs is that it's great to just start and you learn as you go. And so, you know, I think taking that first step is quite often the hardest. So it's very easy for me to sit back and say, oh, I would spend more time thinking about this before I started. I would, you know, spend more time putting these processes in place before I started or making these templates before I started. But actually, it wasn't until I started that I learned all these things had to be done. And I, you know, learned by doing and perfected things and refined things over time. But I needed to start to learn that. So it's quite hard to kind of look back and think, you know, what would I have done differently? Because, you know, they might have had very different outcomes that might not have always been preferable. So, yeah, tricky one.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, because the learnings are what, as you say, has formed you and given you that confidence and that growth. So maybe you wouldn't want to give those up and have a perfect start and not get the growth that you got.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we started bang in the middle of COVID. I mean, we started up in May 2020 and COVID had kicked off, I think, in the March.
Yeah.
We were right in the depths of COVID there. So if we had held off or, you know, waited any longer to start by, you know, doing all these preparatory things first, we might not have taken advantage of the time that we had then. And we might not have been able to jump on that trend of influencers that really sprung up during COVID.
Yeah.
And so many businesses were trying to boost their e-commerce and trying to get help with that. So we might have missed our opportunity then. So, yeah, I mean, you know, looking back now, there are so many little things and kind of daily things that I wish, oh, I should have made a different decision there, or I should have dealt with that a different way. But really, they're quite minor in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. And, you know, it's as long as you learn from the mistake, then it's a positive.
Exactly. And we
don't what I'm hearing is, there's never going to be a perfect time, so just do it.
Well, that's it. And I mean, starting is the hardest part. And I think a lot of people often get quite caught up in the end goal. They say, yeah, okay, this is what I want the business to be, without appreciating that goal might be 10 years down the line. You know, I think people need to focus more on, okay, what are the small steps I can take here to build towards that end goal? You know, you're thinking about this massive business, like, have you even set up your social media profiles for it? Like, have you even spoken to a potential customer? You know, people get very caught up in the end goal. And because of that, then...
Frances, thanks so much for getting involved. I really enjoyed it. I got so much from it, and looking forward to sharing it with the rest of the community. So thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I hope everyone enjoys.